ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We do it every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, good morning. How are we doing? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks for taking time to be with us. TD, we were discussing this a little bit earlier. The potential addition of Tyler Boyd, if the Titans and Boyd are able to come to a deal. If that happens, how do you view him, his fit here with the Titans, and the upgrade in one offseason of the wide receiver room, if it goes from what it was last year to Hopkins, Ridley, and Boyd as your main three?
Yeah, man, it would be a tremendous upgrade if you could add Boyd. I think when you look at what he does as far as work in the middle of the field, it's tight end-like. And we know that young quarterbacks, right, they tend to gravitate towards tight ends. So I could see a guy like Boyd, you know, working that slot and just being there in that 10 to 15-yard range, you know, in the middle of the field, being perfect for a guy like Will Levis. And he's such a reliable pass catcher. I don't know what his percentages are as far as, like, you know, how many completion percentage per game or whatever the analytics use. But I do know that he's a very reliable receiver.
If they were to do this, TD, a couple things. First of all, compare that group's improvement in one offseason to the cornerback groups. I mean, I still would put the cornerback group ahead because it's a total transformation. But I would think that those would be the top two. And then also, what would that mean in your mind for the everybody else behind those three and how it would work out in your mind?
Yeah, I think the corners, they've been improved more. Tidobe Awuzie is an underrated defender. I'm not going to say locked down, but he's a guy that's always in phase. He rarely gives up big plays. And then, look, man, there's no disputing that L'Jarius Sneed is at the minimum a top three corner in the league. So that unit has been upgraded, and you guys know how I feel about Jarvis Brownlee Jr. I'm really big on him. So I think those upgrades were there. But you have to look at the receiver group and think about it. As a receiver, you know, if I'm Treylon Burks, if I'm Kyle Phillips, if I'm Westbrook Ikhine, everybody outside of Ridley and Hopkins, I feel challenged. And I'm like, yo, okay, you want to bring people in to do what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm going to show you. And it's just like Chris Sanders said, right? You either get bitter or you get better. And if it were me, I would get better. And I think this is really going to show you what Treylon Burks has inside of him. And I love the fact that you got a talented player like that being challenged. And I'm curious to see how he's going to respond.
So, TD, this is the first time we've talked to you since the draft is complete here. I want to focus on the sweat pick. Obviously, if you watch his film at Texas, the dude's an absolute monster. I mean, there's no doubt about that. There's the DWI part of this, but there's also the weight part of this when it comes to, I mean, there are reports that he was playing around 380 last year at Texas. So I think the general consensus in the NFL, not that this means anything when they start playing, but the consensus among the draft experts is maybe the Titans reached a little bit with sweat at pick 38. How do you view the sweat pick at 38 and everything that kind of encompasses that pick?
Yeah, I don't think it's a reach. You look, there were two D tackles selected a few picks before him, and then one was selected right after him, and three more were selected all the way up to pick 54. So I don't know that they did reach for him. He was a guy that they liked. They looked at it, and they knew how the board was going to go, or had an idea that there was going to be a run on D tackles. Rand Carthon said that, and he was the D tackle that they liked. So if that's the case, then you take your guy. And I think when you look at it, you also have to turn around and understand how confident they are with the support system they have in place. Jeffrey Simmons, I think, is a really good example of how you take, like I said on Talking with TD this week, he's an example of how you take a frown and turn it upside down, right? Because now when you think about Jeffrey Simmons off the field, you smile because of the give him a reason impact. Because of, you know, being there for the Rock the Runway, the event that he had for kids, you know, with cancer, you know, he took over for Kevin Byard and Jarrell Casey before him. So I think you have a perfect example there. You got Keandre Coburn, who is one of his old heads, like his OGs from when they were at Texas. You got Tracy Rocker. You got Denard Wilson. You got, you know, Rand Carthon. And I think that's something that is an underrated weapon for the Titans. When you look at Rand Carthon and just how he is, as far as being able to relate to these players, it's something that when I asked John Lynch about him, you know, he said that, yeah, Rand is that guy that I could, you know, send in the locker room and he could be that mediator. He could be that guy to help deliver my message effectively. That's what John Lynch said. You understand what I'm saying? So I think he's an underrated weapon in that also. So, look, I don't think they reached. I think he's going to impact other players. Obviously, the DWI is something that, you know, you got to – shoot, I know personally, right, you could be a good person. I would like to believe I'm a good person that you know, made a series of bad decisions that led to that situation. And I don't know Sweat, but from what the Titans, you know, have gathered, that's what they believe about him.
Yeah, I think another thing with him, you know, he could be mature. He could come here and be about business and do all those things. And I mean, look, I'm speaking from personal experience myself. I could still put down a tray of Oreos all of a sudden before I go to bed and five. You know, I mean, there's still like that aspect of it is still tough, right? When you're a big guy. Yeah. I mean, how I just feel like with him, I think we're probably going to know quickly, TD, how that's going. And also, yeah. I feel like this defense, the opportunities there, like he could be a really key part of it right away.
No doubt about it. He could be a really key part. And you know what? I'm with you. If there's the thing I would be concerned about most in this whole situation is the weight. That's what I would be concerned about. But the good thing is they seem to have a plan in place. Brian Callahan joked about being overweight, being expensive, you know, and so I would imagine those fines should be able to, you know, get him in order. But yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. The weight is the big issue, and that's the question mark that I would have if I was looking at this whole situation.
So TD, they take Cedric Gray out of North Carolina in the fourth round. You look at the linebacker group as a whole. Obviously, Kenneth Murray has come in. You still got Dr. Jack there as well, and Gray coming in as a rookie. What do you make of that pick, and what do you make overall of the inside linebacker room right now?
You know what's crazy? Gray was the third player that they picked, and he's the one out of the three that I think should have the least amount of questions as far as becoming a starter, right? You got J.C. Latham. Everybody said, okay, well, you know, you go from right tackle to left tackle. Can he do it? We just talked about Sweat, but you look at Cedric Gray, and this is a guy, his game transfers into the NFL. Right, 3 years of 100-plus tackles. Look, it tells you that he's always around the football. His coverage skills are pretty good. He's not the same athlete as some of the guys picked ahead of him, but he's still athletic enough to come in and be a starter at inside backer. I think they have a good complement there to Kenneth Murray. And, you know, I really – this is my favorite pick out of all the ones that they made. And I think it's because as I watched him a little bit more, I start to think of David Long Jr. You got, man, David Long Jr. is, I love his game, you know. So when you get similarities like that, it makes me happy. It makes me want to watch. So I think if you look at him, you know, all he's going to have to do, he's going to have to work on, you know, being able to better shed blocks and things like that. But that's where a Sweat comes in, right, because he's occupying blockers and allowing him to just kind of weave in there and go get the ball carrier. So I think that's going to help him. But, yeah, I like the pick an awful lot.
At safety, TD, do you expect – there's been a lot of talk about some of these veteran guys. There's three, you know, guys who have done a lot in this league who are out there. Yeah. But, you know, there's other teams who also, you know, would be interested in some of these guys. Do you think that's ultimately where this goes? And if you had to guess, which one of those guys would it be?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that's gradually where it's going to be. I think if they do it, I think it's going to be Marcus May just because there's a history there with Denard Wilson. I they got to do something, though, right? Because you look at Imani Hooker, you look at Elijah Molden, you know, that's a decent tandem, but both of these guys have been hurt pretty much every year they've been in the league. So you have that. I really want to see this preseason and stuff. I want to see Matthew Jackson. I remember watching him early in camp, and I was like, man, I like this kid. Like, he seems like he could play, you know. So I want to see him continue to evolve a little bit more. He had to play linebacker there, you know, in college, but he has the body of a safety. So I want to see what happens there too. So if they don't add a veteran till late, I think that would be pretty cool, because that would give a guy like Matthew Jackson a chance to, you know, not establish himself, but continue to make a mark.
TD, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us. Hope you have a great weekend, and tell us about our friends at ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Oh, yeah, definitely have looking forward to this weekend, man, and I hope you guys have a good one also. And then when we talk about ESPN Bet, man, it's ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring, and it's the exclusive sports book of ESPN, and it has it all, whether it be offers and promotions with Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith, and also from the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark. There's no better time to be a sports fan than right now. As a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet, so download ESPN Bet today. What a play. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call or text the TN Redline at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
Game 6 coming up tonight between the Predators and Canucks. We'll take your thoughts on a huge matchup tonight for the Nashville Predators. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning. Got some tickets to give away to see Neil Young at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, May the 8th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Neil Young at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, May 8th. Preds and Canucks coming up tonight. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in John. John, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, man.
So I think tonight's game is it's gonna be a tough one, because I think we're gonna have to keep our composure throughout the whole series. I feel like we played a lot better than the Canucks, but we just haven't been able to close out games. So it's gonna be detrimental to our success, you know, to be able to close out the game tonight with composure. And you know, that's my take on it.
Yep, thanks for the call, John. I mean, it is. If the Predators get through this, whether it's tonight or in Game 7, and they don't win, and they don't win the series, obviously the first thing people are going to look back is Game 4 and your inability to close that game out. And then I think in addition to that, I mean, it feels like a long time ago at this point, but Game 1, right? Game 1, you're up 2-1 in the third period.
12 seconds.
Now, you certainly did not outplay Vancouver in Game 1 to the level in which you outplayed them in Game 4. But you were still up in the third period, and you gave up a 12-second lapse, basically, that was just horrendous, and you went from up 2-1 to down 3-2 in 12 seconds. So when you factor those two things in, like think about if you hold on to the third period lead in Game 1 and you hold on to the third period lead in Game 4, it's over. Like, it's done at this point. So, again, we'll see if the Predators can overcome that. But certainly, if they lose the series, those are going to be the two things you look back at.
Absolutely. No, you're going to look back at, yeah, just the mistakes, the killer mistakes. Because on the other way, you know, it's not like both teams have blown games. You know, the Preds have been the ones. Now, Vancouver did give up a lead in the third period of the last game. So, I suppose, but, you know, that was still pretty early in the period when they got the power play goal to tie it up, and then you got the Carrier. Great shot by Carrier. So it's not like the 12 seconds a game totally flips.
Correct.
And then, obviously, I mean, the Game 4 is an all-timer. I mean, that's whatever happens in the series, Preds win it, Preds lose it tonight, Preds win Sunday. Like, that game will bring that game up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we'll bring that finish up. Like, here's what not to do in that situation. Yeah. Will it ever happen again? So, and that's the difference, because just that right there, the Preds would be closing out tonight. We don't know how Game 5 works out, if Game 4 goes differently, but the Preds could certainly be in position with a couple different things going their way to be closing it out tonight.
Got my eye on Ryan O'Reilly tonight. He's got 2 points in the series. By no means do I think he's been bad in the series. He has made some killer mistakes at times. And beyond mistakes, there's been a couple missed opportunities where he had a puck, I think, in the slot of game two and couldn't get the puck on net when it was a pretty wide open shot. Game four, he had basically a tap-in goal that he just whiffed on a saucer pass. Even game three, they had a loose puck in front of the net, and, you know, Ian Cole made a great play. The puck from O'Reilly went off the side of Ian Cole's head. So O'Reilly's been there, like he's been right on the doorstep all series long, and he's not really been able to break through. Tonight, they need him. Like, they need O'Reilly not just to play well, they need him to factor in there offensively. And, you know, it's easy to say, look, they need Forsberg and Josi and Saros. They need their best players to be their best players. But O'Reilly, throughout the course of his career, has risen to the occasion in these type of moments. He's been a fantastic playoff player. And the production in this series, albeit a very difficult series in terms of chances generated, he's had some looks, and they've not been able to really go in for him outside of game one where he had the power play goal. So that's who I've got my eyes on tonight, Ryan O'Reilly. Can he find a way to put the puck in the net?
Yeah, it was pretty late in the regular season, and I'm trying to remember exactly who they played, but he had a huge goal, and there was a lot of conversation with him about, I guess it was against
it was
Winnipeg,
right? Yeah,
it was Winnipeg,
put him into overtime to clinch the playoff spot. Yeah,
sort of just how he has that poise. I mean, he has that history of being able to slow things down and just whatever you want to call it, the clutch gene. So if that comes into play in this series, that could tilt it toward the Preds. If Elias Pettersson's gonna play like a superstar player, like he is at some point, even if he just has one big goal, that could tilt it the Canucks way.
Yep. Got a texter that says, this team wasn't even supposed to make the playoffs, so because they came back and we're playing a game six right now, I think it's pretty incredible. Speaks to Barry Trotz and the guys coming together to make moves and play their heart out. With that being said, biggest problem in my mind is that we're not playing to win, we're playing not to lose, meaning we'll pull back, hold off, and get scared instead of just keeping the domination going and going to score another goal to put it to bed. I've seen a lot of that.
I don't agree with that.
I don't necessarily – like, I thought in game four they played – even after they went up 3-1, it's not like they went back into a shell.
They were over them in the offensive zone
in the third period, and then you get it to 6-on-5. Right. And the bottom line is, when it's 6-on-5 and you're a man down, you're just not going
to – You have to play defense.
Yeah, you're not going to dominate offensive zone time. You have to defend better than they did. But I actually – like, I don't think the Predators, outside of game two, when I think it was clear that they basically just went in a shell to hold on. Outside of that, I don't get that sense from the Predators that's what they've done in this series.
Yeah, for sure. That third period was – yes, I mean they couldn't touch the puck, but no, I thought that was a perfect third period in Game Four. That's another part of it. It's not just stunning to lose like you do when you're up two goals with less than 3 minutes to play, but also they had played the third period exactly how you want to play it, and they had chances to O'Reilly one of them to put it away, and then once you get to 6-on-5, you're gonna be in your zone, and you're gonna have to play better, and they made a couple critical mistakes. So, I don't think that's an issue. If they get a lead tonight, I don't think they're going to turtle.
No. Now, when it comes down to it, it's about details in the playoffs, right? Like, think about the game four loss. Everybody points to the 6-on-5 breakdowns that they have, and Josi selling out to block a shot and not getting there. O'Reilly collapsed into the middle.
Nyquist.
The whole play starts with Nyquist.
Pantsed by Quinn Hughes.
And Nyquist probably makes the right read there to go for that chip along the wall.
Most people, he takes it out of the zone, but it was Quinn Hughes.
And he couldn't get there.
Exactly.
And Quinn Hughes made him look ridiculous. And then you've basically taken yourself out of the play there. So it's little margins for error like that. I thought in game five, they had a 6-on-5 situation too. I thought they played that pretty close to perfect. So you're hoping that if you get in that situation again, particularly with two goals, that never happens to you again. Like, that was – I've never seen anything like that in a playoff game. I just haven't seen it. Yeah. So you're hoping that, number one, doesn't end up being the difference in the series, and number two, if you get in that situation again, that you're able to close things out tonight. I still go back to what I said earlier. that I have in the back of my mind. Two things. Elias Pettersson has not really been a factor in this series so far. Does that change at some point? Can the Predators continue to shut him down? To me, he's too good of a player to be totally shut down for seven games. It's been five, and he's not done really anything to this point. So we'll see if that goes on. And then on the other side of things, the goaltending switch. You know, Thatcher Demko going down with an injury, and they've gone to Smith, they've gone Shelov in this series. It hasn't really mattered at this point. Like, both of those guys, I think, have played pretty well. Does it matter tonight? Like, the deeper you get into the series, whether they go with Shelov, whether they go with DeSmith, or one of those guys do for a stinker.
Yeah. Well, one of them looked like a backup goalie on one or two shots that the Preds wouldn't have gotten past Demko.
Yeah.
Preds could definitely use that. A real quick text here. I have it on good authority. A couple of GMs have texted Barry Trotz and given him a can't-miss lineup tonight.
That's good. There you go. That's good. Good to know. A lot of texting going on with those general managers.
A lot of
GMs
are texting each other, man.
Coming up next, it's time for Weekend Winners. We'll pick Game 6 tonight between the Preds and the Canucks. A lot of really interesting games in the Stanley Cup playoffs that we'll get to as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have Weekend Winners for you. Now on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. We are live from Bridgestone Arena. Game 6 coming up tonight between the Preds and Canucks. A very quick standings update in the competition. I went 4-2 last week with my lock. Rex Road 3-3, no lock. Keys are 1-5, no lock last week. Which brings the overall standings. Robbie Stanley, 38-22, 8-2 on my locks. Good for 46 points. Damn. Joe Rexroad in second place, 32-28, 6-4 on his locks, 38 points. Nick Kieser, the same record, 32-28, 3-7 on his locks, 35 points. So I have a significant lead in the competition right now. We'll see if that can continue. With that in mind,
I don't like that.
Let's begin with the game of the day. The Canucks and the Predators coming up in Game 6 tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Can the Predators force a Game 7 in what will be an incredibly pressure-packed situation for the Vancouver Canucks back home, if that is the case? Joe, before the series, I said Preds in 7. So far be it from me now to go away from that. I'll go Preds win tonight in Game 6. They'll force a Game 7 and win it. But we're not picking Game 7 here today because we don't know for sure it's going to happen. But I'll go Preds tonight in Game 6. They get the win, and they force a Game 7. Joe Rexroad, Canucks and Preds on the puck line tonight. Who you got?
Well, I went Canucks in 7, which means that I would stick with that and pick the Preds to win tonight. And yet, I reserve the right to change my mind. I'm going to go Canucks. I think the Canucks get it done tonight. I think it's another game just like this series has seen. I think the Preds will play well, but we've been talking about it the whole show, and that's my prediction. Pettersson with a huge power play goal is the difference tonight.
So, Joe going with Vancouver tonight in Game 6. Nick Kieser, Preds, Canucks, Game 6. Who you got?
Contrary to what I actually picked to start off the series, I'm going to change my mind as well. I believe I picked Vancouver in 6 on our program, but I'm going to go Preds tonight. I just think there's an aura in the building that we've not seen in quite some time take over. So give me the Predators in this one. Should be a fun one. I'm excited for it.
So Keys are going with the Preds tonight in Game 6. Game 7 between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins. Boston was up 3-1 in the series. Auston Matthews has missed both of the last two games. Toronto's won them both, and they're going on the road to Boston for Game 7 coming up tomorrow night. Joe, we start with you straight up. Who you got between the Bruins and the Leafs in Game 7?
I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm going with the Leafs.
Wow.
Hold on. I just got a text from one of my friends at Toronto that they were going to pick the Leafs, too.
Oh, boy. That's a lot of Leafs love.
WHMR.
I see what you did there. Nick Kieser, Leafs, Bruins, Game 7. Who you got?
I am going to go with the Maple Leafs. I think they get it done. Nylander last night had two phenomenal goals. I mean, if Auston Matthews doesn't play, they've proven that they can come back. I feel better about their goaltending as of late. Joseph Woll, I don't know why he wasn't the starter
from
the start. Wow. Yeah, good job, Joe. But anyway,
thank you.
Give me Maple Leafs, Game 7. Boston clearly has some issues going on, and I think it's too much.
This is why you're winning the competition. You're just going to take the Bruins and laugh at us. Lock. I know.
Locking down
what
the
Bruins. What are we doing? What are we doing?
This is setting up to be so beautiful, where everybody thought Toronto was done. They were talking about breaking things up, and now they've got a ton of hope. They played great last night in Game 6.
Core 4.
At one point, they're out shooting them 15-1. And now everybody feels good up there in Toronto. Like, yes, we got the momentum. This is setting up beautifully. Boston, Game 7, they win. I'm locking it down.
Guaranteed.
The Stars and the Golden Knights coming up in Game 6. Dallas was down 0-2 in this series. They've won 3 games in a row, and they're going for the closeout on the road in Game 6 tonight. Nick Kieser, who you got between the Stars and Golden Knights in Game 6?
I think the long-term IR in Vegas get it done tonight, fellas. I really do. So Mark Stone, I think, plays a big factor in this one as well. And I'm looking forward to seeing a Game 7 where Matt Duchene either tears it up or looks absolutely god-awful.
No in between.
Jeez, I like that. I'm going to go Vegas tonight, too. It's difficult for me to imagine Dallas running through 4 in a row here. But, I picked Dallas to win the Cup. I think they're a really good team, obviously. But I'll go Vegas tonight for a Game 7 at home for Dallas. Joe Rexroad, Vegas and Dallas coming up in Game 6.
I'm stunned because I'm doubting this pick, too, but I also am going Golden Knights. I see this series as the exact replica of Preds-Ducks 2016, and the Preds had to, find a way at home. And then Golden Knights are going to go win Game 7, too.
Wow, I like that. We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Yeah, Cavs Magic tonight, Game 6 in Orlando. It's been a home team-dominated series. Magic are -3.5. Give me the Magic. Make it my lock.
Locking down on the Orlando Magic at home against the Cavs coming up tonight. -3.5. Nick Kieser, your first individual selection.
Something I've not picked in a long time, fellas, but I'm going to pick Nashville SC to lose against Montreal this weekend and make it my lock. I have to say, really, really quickly, really fast, I think Gary Smith does not have much longer. And by the way, he got booed during the starting lineup last week. So there's that.
I saw that. I will go with the Dallas Mavericks -8 against the Clippers. I think the Mavs, Kyrie and Luka have kind of found something together here during this series. I'll go with the Mavs -8. I know it's a big line, but -8 against the Clippers. Nick Kieser, your second individual selection.
I'll go back over to the NBA just like Joe Rexroad did in his last pick. I'm going to take the Mavs over the Clippers. I like that the Mavs have had some momentum lately, and they would be facing the OKC Thunder in round 2, by the way.
So going with the Mavs -8 against the Clippers. Joe, your second individual selection.
Clean sweep on that one.
Mavs -8.
There we go.
Congratulations to the Clippers. I will go Nuggets -4.5 in Game 1 against the Timberwolves. First off, I think that's going to be an awesome series. Yes. I'm very much here for Denver and Minnesota in the second round. Game 1, I'll go with Nuggets -4.5. Against the Timberwolves. Nick, your final individual selection.
Yeah, heading over to the baseball diamond. Sonny Gray and the Cardinals are taking on the White Sox. Give me the Cardinals.
Cardinals -1.5 against the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Rexroad, your last individual selection.
Well, I'm opposing you on T-Wolves Nuggets. I think the T-Wolves pull off the upset in Game 1 and start the series right away.
So going T-Wolves +4.5. Against the Nuggets. I will go the Cincinnati Reds +1.5 against the Baltimore Orioles tonight. Reds +1.5. They got Hunter Green on the mound +1.5 against the Baltimore Orioles tonight. How much Baltimore Orioles Reds baseball are you going to be watching today?
Not a lot, but interesting pick there. Way to hit the diamond. Can I ask real quick, going back to Nick's pick? I mean, you guys tell me. I'll admit my ignorance.
Okay.
Is Gary Smith the problem with Nashville SC? Gary Smith, his coaching has gotten bad?
Well, I can tell you that the fan base, at least the loud minority, or maybe it isn't even minority anymore, the fan base, they are very in on getting Gary Smith out.
That would be very correct.
Give me a reason.
The reason being
the structure.
They're too defensive. some of the decisions they make late in games when they need a goal, basically things like that. But do I think he's a big problem? Like, I'm not smart enough basically to know the answer to that question. They've been an expansion franchise that's made the playoffs every year that they've been here. Is it disappointing that they've not had better results once they've gotten to the postseason? Yes. Is Gary Smith to blame for that? I'm sure partially, yes. And they're not off to a good start this year in terms of – and look, they've had some injuries that they've had to deal with, but I can tell you a lot of the fan base is ready to move on. I don't know if that's the right move or not, but – they're ready to move on. Nick, your thoughts?
No, that'd be exactly right, quite frankly. I mean, Walker Zimmerman, he's getting back to health, and I think that's been a main issue, like you said, injuries. And Randall Leao, he's a guy that's just lingering. He's literally a body that does nothing on that team anymore. He's been injured, and I feel bad that that's the case, but that's the sad truth for him. I think moving forward, I'm curious to see what Jacobs, the GM, does. And ultimately, at the very end of the things as well, just thinking about that franchise right now, goaltending's not really the problem. I think Joe has done a really good job back there.
Way to go, Joe.
But, you know, I think if they're going to add something, they need to do it quickly. And also, too, I don't think Sam Surridge has played up to par. I think in certain games he's had flashes. But my thing is, if he's not going to get going, you need to move on from him, because they've already had some travesties from guys internationally that have come over and just not done well. So is it Gary Smith? Is it someone of the players? Yes, absolutely. Can they get it done this weekend? I just don't think so. They have not shown that they can hold a lead, not even a two-goal lead at times, and it's been very disappointing. And they also traded away someone 2 weeks ago, Mackenzie Gaines, who could have been someone that you could have relied on for depth. But what are they going to do? It's yet to be seen.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, our final thoughts on Game 6 tonight between the Predators and Canucks. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Make sure you tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Sunday for coverage of the Advent Health 400 at Kansas Speedway. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock, race starting at 2. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com.
Thanks a lot, Chase, for showing up with your own coffee. None for us.
I really hope they've got some down in this room. Otherwise, Rex Road's going to go nuts by the time morning skate happens here for the Predators and Canucks in Game 6. He's powering through today.
I'm going to pass out, like flop onto Luke Shen and then pick up the stomach bug and spread it all over the press box. It's going to be a total disaster because no one will get me coffee today.
Joe, if they don't have coffee, I'll go get you one.
Wow, that's a bold statement from Keezer.
They should have it, though.
You just said that publicly.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's fine. I've been there most mornings with Robbie. Robbie, have I had coffee when I'm down there?
Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go. So you got Vancouver winning tonight in Game 6. Ultimately, what do you think the difference is tonight, and what do you have in terms of the reasoning Vancouver closing it out?
Yeah, it's just a feeling. Yeah, it's a toss-up. The series really is a toss-up series.
Yep.
It's a toss-up game. I think the Preds are going to come out and play well. I ultimately think Vancouver is a little bit better. And what you said a few times on this program today about the goalie situation mattering, it hasn't yet. There's a lot of things that if this happens, then this happens. So if that's the case, well, then I like the Preds. Can they squeak a week one by,
right,
you know, and sort of just take advantage of what they have. They have an advantage in net. Can that play out? Will Ryan O'Reilly come up with something big? He would be the guy I think you'd look at. On the other side, again, like I said, I'm going Pettersson on the power play. The Preds' power play has been bad, 2-for-19. The Canucks are 2-for-13.
Yep.
So both of these teams, based on their regular season numbers, you know, underperforming the power play and overperforming the penalty kill. I think the Pettersson, it's too theatrical almost to pick it, and yet I can totally see it happening. He's too good, I think, to go through an entire series and not make one key offensive play. And I think that's the difference in my little pick here. But it's it's a toss-up. Yeah. And I'm totally with anyone, you said it, anyone who says it. If the Preds can find a way tonight in what should be a great atmosphere, then absolutely the pressure goes all to the Canucks.
It does. I'm interested to see tonight. Number one, it's one thing to come out of the gate strong and to control play in the first 10 minutes of the game. I expect the Predators to do that. I think there's something to that when you're at home in the playoffs.
That's what the Canucks did the other night.
Yeah, particularly when you're at home in the playoffs and you know it's an elimination game. Like I think you're going to see the Predators come out of the gate really strong. But can you convert when you do it? Like it's one thing to come out of the gate strong. It's another thing to be able to put one or two past them and really allow the doubt to start to creep in. And not just the doubt, but you know, have your work pay off for you. Like if you can get a goal or two to go for you in the first 10 minutes, number one, the building comes alive. Number two, you play with the lead, which is what you're it's still what you thrive at, game four notwithstanding. But can you find a way to hit the back of the net a couple times in the first 10 minutes? If you can do that, then I love your chances. If Vancouver is able to survive kind of that first wave tonight from the Predators, then I think things start to get a little hairy. I would be very surprised if the Predators control the game tonight at the same level they controlled it in games 3 and 4. And look, maybe that ends up being a good thing. Like I said, the actual results in this series have been so weird that the team that's played better for the most of these games haven't won. But like I would be surprised if the Predators have as much of an edge territorially tonight as they did in games 3 and 4. If they do, good on them. But I think it's going to be an absolute dogfight out there tonight.
Finally, we got a crowd here, a raucous crowd.
Yes. Oh,
hey, by the way, Alex Doherty brings his own coffee, too. No one brings us coffee.
No one brings us anything.
For a minute, I thought he was actually going to bring that for us to, like, pass around. And pass it like Kaharski.
There you go.
Puff, give, Kaharski. But, we're finally seeing it. We're finally seeing it start to enliven around here. Yep. People walk around the building. We got morning skate in
40 minutes.
About 40 minutes from now, and it's gonna be great around here. I see a lot of endorsements for people to get here super early today.
Yeah,
probably a good idea if you can.
If you're able to do it, I would say they're going to be opening the doors at 3 o'clock today. So clearly, number one, you know, I'm interested to see what the weather does. Could be a little rainy, but they're going to open the doors at 3. If you could get down here early if you're coming to the game, my advice would be to do so because, I mean, you do have the Morgan Wallen concert. I think there's something going on at the Ryman tonight. I mean,
like every place has something.
Yeah, like it's going to be packed down here. So I would, if you're able to do it, I would advise you to get here as early as possible. I have heard through the grapevine some things about the pregame that they've been working on that I think the fans are going to enjoy as well. So I would get here. I'd get here. They want you in your seat by 5:45.
They're going to play Run This Town. I mean, that's all Doherty's been tweeting about all week.
Yeah.
Play Run This Town. Play Run This Town.
They better respond well if they do it.
It's better than Glorious Domination.
Fans have been clamoring for it all week. If they do it, you better get up. Better cheer. Better get ready to go. That's what the pregame hype video is about.
Oh, I just got a text.
Rank Arthur?
So they agree that they should play Run This Town.
That's good. That's good.
I'm going to show Jared. Everybody show Jared all your texts. By the way, real quick, shout out to DJ Burnside, who I tweeted out Paul Skorbina's awesome Flamey Cheetos.
Yes, hoodie.
Hoodie and shoes. And Burnside has put together a deviled egg hoodie and deviled egg shoes. If that actually existed, I would pay good money and wear that all the time.
Big game tonight for UC Saros. He was excellent in game 5 other than the one goal, but made some huge plays in that game. And, again, you start to, in big moments, come through in a big way for your team. That's when the contract stuff kind of starts to take care of itself. And I'm interested to see his response tonight. Can he handle the moment? Can he play well in a huge game? And can the Predators find their way to force a game 7?
He dominates 2 games. You're giving him 8-8?
It would certainly help the cause. I'm still not convinced.
Alex Doherty, Saros dominates 2 straight games. You're giving him 8-8?
He says no.
That's a no.
All right.
You're hedging.
I'm on the fence.
What does Jared think?
I don't know. Maybe he'll have to text in. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. Everybody enjoy game 6 tonight. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.